The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we want to give you just a second to hop on here to the broadcast. And while you're coming on, if this is your first time joining us here via by Facebook, let me know where you guys are joining us from. We would like to hear from you, as always, to see where you guys are hopping in and where you're joining us from and listening from. I'm going to follow along with you guys here as well here on the side on the broadcast as well. So today, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm getting a little tired of hearing about coronavirus. I'm tired of hearing about COVID-19. I'm tired of it taking all the spotlight, taking all the media, taking all the attention, putting everybody into hysteria, putting everybody into panic, putting everybody into fear. So I've decided today that we as believers, I want to show you some things from Scripture. What does the Word of God say? How should we respond regarding this coronavirus? So we're going to go through a lot of Scripture today, and I'm going to give you, this is not my opinion, this is straight up Word. Okay, this is straight Word of God, and we're going to start at Exodus. So if you don't have a Bible, I advise you to get a Bible with me or with you so you can follow along with me today, because you're going to want to do this, because I want you to, as you're following along, I want you to highlight some of these scriptures. I want you to bookmark them. I want you to memorize them. I want you to quote them. I want you to decree them, declare them, pray them. Why? Because you need to become acquainted with the Word of God. And now, Exodus 15:26 is where we're going to start. Exodus 15:26. We're going to start in the Old Testament. Listen to this. This is where the Lord God revealed himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He revealed himself to the Israelites as Jehovah Rapha. That is a Hebrew name for the Lord, our healer. This is what it says in Exodus 15:26. He says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will, now your Bible probably says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In the Hebrew, this actually reads, I will permit none of the diseases to come upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, or I have allowed to come upon the Egyptians. Now, the reason why I emphasize that is because when we get ready to go here in the New Testament in just a moment, I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove to you from the Word of God that this virus was born from the pits of hell. This is not God pouring this out upon the earth because he's pouring out his judgment upon the earth. And I'll explain why that is in just a minute. And I'm going to show you that this is the work of the enemy. It's born from the pits of hell, regardless if it was created in a lab or it came from an animal or it came from a diseased animal market in China or wherever it was formed from. I'm telling you, the origin of this is not of God. Now, did God permit it? Sure. Did God allow it? Yes. But it doesn't mean that he created it. Now, watch this. I want to show you something. Exodus 23:25. All right. So you shall, again, this is to the Israelites. This is Old Covenant. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. He's going to take what from us? Sickness away from what? The midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Again, this was a covenant that God made with Israel. Old Testament. All right. And you say, well, that's Old Testament, Brother Ricky. That's not New Testament. All right. All right. I hear you. Let's go on. Let's go to Psalms 103. It's still Old Testament, but I got to get some more word out. Psalms 103. And we're going to get, wait till we get to the authority of the believer in just a second. This is, and then I'm going to show you something. Psalms 103. Here's what it says. This is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, and all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Did you know there's benefits in serving God? There's benefits in serving the Lord. And now he's going to elaborate on what they are. Who forgives all your iniquities. That's good news for you, friend. That means that's good news for, I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, or how bad it was or how bad it is. If you're willing to repent, he's willing to forgive. He says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all thy iniquities. And you're going to like this next one. This same God who's able to forgive you of all your iniquities is the same God who heals. What's it say right there in your Bible? Come on, say it with me. Who heals all your diseases. He heals how many diseases? All. Come on, I want you to say that again. He heals all your diseases. Your diseases is my diseases. That's your diseases. What's diseases? Diseases cover all this. Did you know that coronavirus, whatever strand it is, whatever strand of virus or whatever strand of coronavirus is, every plague, every pestilence, every disease, every virus, it's a disease. It's categorized as a disease. And the Word of God says the Lord is able. He says he heals all your diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So this is so powerful, guys. Now I'm going to go to the Matthew. Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35. Now we're in the New Covenant. New Testament. We're not... This is under a better covenant. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the Word, the blood speaks a better word, right? We all have to agree with that. How much more does the precious blood of the Lamb speak today? Matthew 9:35. Listen to what he says. Matthew 9:35. All right. You say, what are you doing? I'm glorifying Jesus today. We're not talking about, listen, we're going to show you how little coronavirus is and how big our God is. That's what we're doing today. I'm tired of putting coronavirus in the spotlight. We're going to put Jesus in the spotlight. We're going to put the name that is above every name, and that's the name of COVID-19. The devil, I'm tired of the devil spewing his fear and his hysteria and his chaos and shaking the economy and shaking people and shaking nations and shaking families and shaking little children and scaring people. All right? So listen, Matthew, we're going to go here. Matthew 9:35. Listen to this. Matthew 9:35. I'm in Mark. It would help if I get in Matthew. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, I want to say it again. He went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Did you know that healing the sick is part of the gospel of the kingdom? I know your preacher may not tell you that. And I know your seminary might not teach you that. And I know your favorite theologian may tell you that that's not true today, but I'm going to tell you, I serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I serve the God who says, I am the Lord God who changeth not. Listen, is God dead? No. Is the Holy Spirit dead? No. So neither is his gifts. Neither is miracles. Neither is the supernatural. Neither is the miraculous. Neither is the Word of God. The Word says heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this Word shall pass till everything be fulfilled. Listen to this. He says he went about in every village, in every city, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every, how many? Every, not some, not here, little, there, little. He said every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Come on, you got to listen. Here's what I, you know what I see and what's happening right now. And I've got a message lined up for Wednesday. And I'm going to talk about how what we're seeing right now could very well be a catalyst for another great awakening. Now, I've said if, and here's what I'm, listen to what I'm saying. I've always said if we have another great awakening, we've had two of them. If we have another great awakening, I've always said that it would never come lest there be a major disaster in which would initiate it. And friends, we're in it. Look around. Look what's happening. Italy just quarantined the entire nation. The entire nation has been on a mandatory quarantine. The stock market is crashing. It's its lowest level since the recession of 2008. The perplexity of nations is just picking up pace. People are losing their minds. Perplexity, fear, anxiety, worry, mass hysteria, panic. It's going global. So if there was ever a time that the church is going to have to rise up, listen, this should be an indictment against the church. What is the church doing? When I read this Bible, when I read the New Testament, the church of the New Testament, the early church, was full of power. They were full of glory. They were full of the miracles of God, and they were using them, operating them, and they were going forward, and they were doing what God called them to do. They had, listen, they had an answer for disease. They had an answer for pandemics and sicknesses, infirmities, and the list goes on. All right, so listen to this. Luke 6, let's jump over to Luke 6, verse 19. Luke 6, 19. I got to read this. Luke 6, 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, for power went out from him and healed them all. What's your Bible say? How many were healed? All. When they sought him, they were healed. All right, now, Luke 6, Mark. Let's go to the book of Mark. So we're going to back up a little bit. Mark 11, 23 to 24. I said this today. Listen, in the book of Proverbs, it says that you and I have the power of life and death in our tongues. As believers, we have the power to loose and the power to bind. That's in the Word of God, New Testament. He says, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the very powers of the enemy. The Word of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I and quickens our mortal body. This same Jesus, the Bible says that you and I, The same works that Jesus did, you and I shall do the same works, and greater shall we do, because he goes on to the Father and he's poured out his Holy Spirit unto us as the ecclesia, as the church, to go about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And I'm showing you this in scripture. Listen to this. In Mark 11, 23 through 24, it says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things in which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, to put this in proper context, Jesus and the disciples were passing by a region, and there was a fig tree that Jesus thought had fruit on it. He went to get fruit on it, and it did, and it bore no fruit. So he cursed this fig tree, and upon him cursing it, it did not immediately wither up and die. But the next day when they passed through back through the region, it was then withered up and die. It was then withered up and dead. And then the disciples said, "Look, Lord, the fig tree in which you cursed, it's now dead." And then that's the context in which he says to you, he says, "Have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whatsoever you say, when you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which are done, ye shall have whatsoever you ask, and it shall be done." So I'm going to be a little transparent with you guys. I've really been digging deep in the study of healing. Why? Why am I studying? Why am I focusing so much on the study of healing? Because I have been contending for healing in my body for a long time now. And I'm not going to be satisfied. Listen, my God does not do anything partial. When he does it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could even ask or think. I'm not asking for a partial healing. I'm asking to be whole in Jesus' name. I can show you in the New Testament, "Lord, if thou be willing, I can be made whole." And he said, "I am willing. Let it be done according to your faith." And they were made whole. So in my personal study of healing, I've discovered that a lot of times we pray wrong. A lot of us need a miracle which is instantaneous, and we're asking for a healing, or we need a healing and we're asking for a miracle. Listen, let me show you a little bit of a difference here. A miracle would be an individual who is born without a left eye in their eye socket. Obviously, you can't pray for a healing in the eye because there is no eye to heal. So you need to ask for a miracle that God would create an eyeball. Listen, and you say, "Oh, I don't believe God can do that." Listen, I don't really care if you believe it or not. I'm going to tell you something. Back in the healing movement back in the 1940s and 50s, even all the way up in the 1960s, there was men and women of God that were used in the healing movement. And there was story after story after story. I remember one story. There was a little boy who he was born with. He was one of his eyes. He did not have any eye. He was born with no eye in his socket. It was completely hollow. And he had always wanted his eye to be restored. And some of these ministers would come under these old tent revivals, and they begin to preach about the power of God, and they begin to preach about the miracles of God, and they begin to preach about the creative miracle and the creative hand of God, and they would preach on, and they would begin to declare some of these scriptures that I'm telling you about and talking about. And then this little boy's faith began to rise in him. And he said, "I believe." And the man of God laid hands on him. He said, "Do you believe God can create an eye?" And he says, "Yes, sir, I believe he can." And he laid hands on him. He laid hands on him, and the evangelist told him to cover up the good eye. And keep in mind, there's no eye in the socket. And he told him to cover up his eye. And he held out something. He said, "Can you read this?" And he says, "No." And so he kept praying. And it reminds me of the story in the New Testament where Jesus took some mud and he spat on it and he rubbed it in a man's eye. And he prayed for the man, and then he says, what do you see? And he says it looks blurry. It looks like men walking as trees. Now hold on here. See, if we just read that, we'd say, well, look, Jesus didn't even heal him. But Jesus didn't give up. He was persistent. So he laid hands on him again, and he prayed again. He said, what do you see now? And then eventually, it was a progressive healing, and he was completely made whole. But then there's other stories where there was a woman with an issue of blood, where the doctors did all they could do. She spent all that she had on the physicians and doctors and specialists. She spent all of her money. And she said, I know if I could touch just the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole and instantly healed. It was a miracle, not a healing, a miracle. Do you see the difference? There was 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and he said, what is it that you would want? And they said, can we be made whole? And the Lord saw that they had leprosy, and he didn't lay hands. The Bible says he did not lay hands on them. He spoke the word and says, go and show yourself to the priest. And your Bible says that they turned around. It didn't say they were healed instantly. As they turned around and as they went, it says as they went, as they journeyed, as they progressed, as they went forward, as they kept believing, as they kept contending. Oh, come on, somebody. As they were pursuing, they were healed. And before they got to their destination and revealed themselves to the priest, as the custom was, they were being healed in the process. Oh, come on. This is good whether you want to hear it or not. This is some good teaching right here. Let me get back to this little boy. So he prayed for him again. And he says, what do you see? He told him to cover the good eye so he could see out of the eye or the socket where there's no eye. And he says, what do you see? And all of a sudden he says, I can make out shapes. He prayed for him again. He can make out shapes again. He can make out color all of a sudden. Then he began to read a sign. And after several times of praying, this young boy could cover the good eye. And where there is no physical eye in the socket, he could read the letters off of a cardboard that was written on a cardboard. So the news of this, so he no longer, he didn't have to wear a patch or anything, and he could see clearly. And the news of this spread, and I'll never forget when I read this. So this healing, and notice I'm not disclosing names because I know how people are. You start name dropping, and people that don't like a certain individual, they won't listen to anything you got to say because instead they'll tear down the man of God, or they'll tear down the message, or they'll try to distract everybody from this. And I'm not going to give Satan that foothold. Come on, I'm using wisdom on that. So this man of God showed up across town in another tent revival. And lo and behold, this young man who was healed of his eye showed up. And word got around that this young man was going to come. So all these leading ophthalmologists, these are eye specialists, they, of course, they wanted to come and try to ridicule the meeting, try to ridicule the man of God. They were going to try to make a mockery of God and try to prove to the community that the healings were fake, and et cetera, and et cetera. So what happened was they took the young boy, they asked the revivalist and the young boy if they could have permission to take bandages. And they took these gauze and bandages and they wrapped them around the boy's face, around his good eye. I mean, we're talking about wrapped it to the point where they kept asking him, can you see out of your left eye? They closed the right eye completely, and they wrapped it up where he could not see anything out of his good eye. And I say the good eye, meaning that the physical eye that they could see, that they knew he could see out of. But they taped it up so that there's no way that he could fabricate this. And they said, all right. So they put him on the stage, and they said, and they tested it. They put a cup over the eye that had no eyeball in the socket, and this was completely taped. And they said, what can you see? And he says, I can't see anything. So then they took the cup off of his eye, and it's still bandaged up on the good eye. And they held up charts and they said, all right, let's prove whether you can or cannot see or if this is real. And they held up these charts and he began to read every single letter off the chart. Two or three of the ophthalmologists passed out on the stage. I believe from what I read, at least one or two of them gave their heart to the Lord because they said, this is impossible. That the young boy does not even have an eye in the socket. How is he reading this? And what am I talking about? I'm talking about a sign and a wonder. I'm talking about the miraculous. I'm talking about a creative miracle. I'm talking about the same God who did that, the same God in the Old Testament, the same God in the New Testament. The problem is we're so full of unbelief and doubt that when we hear about a virus, we run and cringe and hide and get in our homes and not go out, and we're scared to death. When the Word of God says, listen to this, Matthew 8:16 through 18. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word. He cast it out with a what? He cast it out with the word. Did you know you have the same word right here? Jesus spoke the word and they were healed. And it says, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. How many did he heal? Come on, somebody. All who were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 3:13-15. And he went up on a mountain, called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses. That includes coronavirus, and to cast out demons. And by the way, they're doing that in China. There's Christians out in the streets praying for people in China. That was a report from Charisma Magazine. Now, let me get to this. I told you I was going to talk to you about. I want to show you and prove to you in Scripture that God is not doing this. God's not pouring this out. God is not the author of this. John 10:10. If you don't remember anything, remember this today, because this is a major revelation. You got to get this revelation. Because there's all kinds of people out there and they've got some goofy theology. They've got some goofy belief. They've got some goofy traditions, and they believe some of the wildest, wackiest, goofiest stuff out there. They've been taught behind pulpits that God's putting sickness on them, that God wants to put sickness on them because he wants to get, so they'll give him the glory, and they'll get glory out of them being sick, and they'll get glory out of them being in a sick bed. And I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere in the Old and New Testament can I find that God gets glory out of your sickness. I can't find where it says that God gets glory out of you being sick. Nowhere. Why would he give you? Listen to me, guys. Use common sense. Listen, I'm a Kentucky boy, and if I can get this, I know you can get this, because I know, listen, we've got a bad rap in Kentucky that we're just Southerners. We're a bunch of ignorant rednecks, remember? That's what we were told by a lot of politicians. We're just a bunch of ignorant rednecks that clings to our God and our Bibles and our guns, right? So if this Kentucky boy can get this, I'm sure you can get this across your skull. And that is, listen, why in the world would Jesus give authority to believers to heal the sick if he's putting it on them? Oh, you didn't hear me. I got to repeat that again, because once you get this revelation, guys, it's going to revolutionize how you believe the Word of God. Listen, if you believe that God is putting this junk on people, then you've got to rip these scriptures out of your Bible that says, and he gave them authority to heal the sick. Again, why would God commission you and I and give us the authority to lay hands on the sick that they would recover, Mark 16, to go about healing the sick, come on, and cast out devils? Why would he give us that authority only if he is going to come right around and put the sickness on people to begin with? Hello? That's the dumbest theology I've ever heard of. No, here's what the Word of God says, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And listen, this coronavirus has one mission, and it's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's stealing our peace. It's stealing our joy. It's stealing the love of God. It's stealing all this, and it's killing people, literally. And it's destroying our economy. And I say, I don't know about you, friends, but listen, I say enough is enough. What would happen if the church rose up right now, understanding the authority they have as believers, and we put our differences aside, put our denominational differences aside, put our theological differences aside, and begin to exalt the name of Jesus, begin to pray the name of Jesus, use the authority He's given us, begin to bind and loose, decree and declare, and begin to do what God's called the ecclesia, the church, to do in this hour. Whew. Come on, I can't get no help up in here today. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But listen what Jesus said. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Again, if you think God's doing this mess, you are contradicting the Word of God and you're calling Jesus a liar. And you say, why are you emphasizing this, preacher? Because listen, we got a bunch of people fighting against God and not with God. If we can get you on the same page and get you to understand where this mess is coming from, who is the author of this mess, then you know how to pray accordingly. Whew. James 1:16-18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in which there's no variation, a shadow of turning. Can I make this simple? I remember one of my old pastors from Louisville, Kentucky used to say that, and this was all built on this scripture, and it makes perfect sense. And he said, based on this scripture in John 10:10, that what this basically implies here is that every good thing comes from God. Blessing, prosperity, healing, deliverance, your marriage, your children, your job, every blessing, every good thing, all that comes down from the Father of lights. But everything that is darkness, destruction, evil, wicked, poverty, sickness, disease, the whole nine yards, that is coming from the evil one. He's the author of death. He's the author of disease. He's the author of sickness. He's the author of confusion. He's the author of evil and wickedness and destruction and everything that's happening. All right? Now I'm going to go to the book of Acts chapter 5. Watch this. Listen how the early church handled. This is all the way in the book of Acts. So this was post-resurrection. This was not when Jesus was alive. This was after the death, burial, resurrection, and Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and the apostles are now operating in the authority that they've been given. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Listen, we've got people right now on our Facebook Live, and they're refuting what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the devil is spewing doctrines of demons and lies, telling people that they don't have authority as a believer, telling people that miracles have ceased, telling people that there's not healing today, telling people that they're going to die in sickness, telling people that there's no hope, telling people that they have not the authority that Jesus has given them and given them. I'm telling you guys, you need to get back in the Word. Don't listen to what some theologian tells you. Don't listen to someone. Listen. The Bereans were good Bereans. You know what they did in the book of Acts? They went and they took what the apostles were preaching to them, and the Bible says they went and searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. I challenge you. You search the scriptures. You show me where the Holy Spirit ceased from operating in the earth today. Show me where the Holy Spirit is no longer here today. Show me where it says the gifts of the apostles. You will not find it anywhere in the New Testament. The Bible says the gifts of the Spirit, not the gifts of the apostles. So the Holy Spirit did not cease in operation in the fourth century with the death of the last apostle John. That is not scriptural. Again, that's why we're in the mess that we're in right now, is because there has been so much unbelief spewed in the churches today that nobody has any authority and power. Now, I got to get to this. Acts 5:14 through 16. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. I said men and women. So that they brought, listen to this, they brought the sick out into the streets. So here comes the community bringing the sick, bringing the lame, bringing the destitute, bringing the diseased, bringing the afflicted. They brought them out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter, not Jesus, it didn't say the shadow of Jesus, it said that the shadow of Peter might fall on some of them. Wait a minute, his shadow? Yes, his shadow. This man, that tells me that Peter was so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the Holy Ghost, that there was such an anointing on him that it was emanating from him. I can show you in the scriptures in the book of Acts where they were not permitted to travel to certain locations and lay hands on sick people. So what they did was they took cloths from their bodies and they distributed them out. And there was so much anointing that was emanating from them that it was transferred to an object, which was the cloths that was on their bodies. And they took these handkerchiefs, and when they laid those handkerchiefs as a point of contact on people that were demon-possessed or sick, they were delivered and they were healed. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible, because that's what it says. So you either believe or you don't. There is no in middle ground. Even the Lord says, I wish you'd be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, because you want a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So the shadow of Peter was falling on them that they might get healed. Also, verse 16, Acts 5:16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. Now look, everything I'm preaching to you guys, I'm walking it out. I'm walking it out. There comes a point when you'll let the devil push you around so much and you'll get fed up with it. Some of y'all ain't there yet. Some of y'all ain't there yet. But you're going to get sick of hearing about coronavirus. You're going to get sick of hearing about your prognosis and the doctor saying, oh, you know, it doesn't look good. Or, well, you know, we really can't find an answer for what's going on. Or it's, or something just keeps going on and going on. And you've been praying and you've been continuing and you've been fasting and you've been weary and well doing. But I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher today, whether it's popular or whether it's not, you're looking at a preacher that still believes that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I believe the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is in me, and he's in you. If you're a believer, you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that same power is in you. Now, you and I have a choice. We can exercise that faith, we can believe that, or we don't. And I'm telling you, everything I'm preaching to you and telling you today, this preacher's walking it out. I'm still walking out my healing. I don't care what I don't care how I feel. I don't care if there's physical, I don't care if there's still pain, if there's still discomfort, if there's still symptoms, it don't matter. Because it doesn't change any, it doesn't change the truth. The facts may be there's still discomfort, or there's still pain, or there's still symptoms, or there's still this. But the truth is, by his stripes I'm healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by his stripes we were healed. If he's already paid the price and he's already done it, then I am healed. Not I'm going to be, I am. So it's, I'm expecting the manifestation. I'm expecting the healing to manifest. Why? Because I have a written word that says it will. I have a spoken word, which is a rhema word. I've had dreams that's been given to me. I've had prophetic words given to me. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. We, the church, has come to a pivotal point right now. Whether you like it or not, we are in a pandemic where we get the root, where we get the word pandemonium. We are in a pandemic with this coronavirus. So, did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, I have made you a city set upon a hill? I've made you to be salt. I've made you to be an example. He said, let your light so shine among men that they may say, that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Listen, if there was ever a time, I'm telling you right now, I would absolutely be embarrassed to be in a church right now that does not believe in signs, wonders, and miracles and does not believe in the power to heal the sick today. I would not be a part of a church that was like that. Listen, those days are over. It's time. Listen, the days of playing games are over. Now we're going to begin to see where the church is. Where's the church of the living God? Where's the church full of the Holy Ghost? Where's the church full of the signs, wonders, and miracles? Where's the church that I read about in the New Testament where it says, and these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up deadly serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall by no means harm them. And they shall raise the dead. Where is that church, guys? That's us. That's you. That's me. And God's already equipped us with that, but he's waiting for us to step out in that thing. Listen, aren't you tired of motivational speaking? Aren't you tired of humanistic, feel good, a better you, and a better, I'm going to make you a better you messages? Listen, it's time we get pulpits filled with preachers, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, full of the anointing, full of the word, who's going to begin to encourage you and equip you and challenge you to step forth and step out in what God has called you to do in this hour. So listen, if this didn't do anything for you but to stir you up, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. I pray that that's what happened tonight. It stirred you up. Listen, let me pray right now. Before I do that, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. That's our main landing page. Listen, we may have lost half of you right there because, listen, there is more churches out there today that are mentioned in the New Testament where Paul said they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. That is an end time sign. The fact that there is more churches out there today that are powerless and don't believe in what I'm sitting here preaching to you today is an indictment and it's proof that we're in the end times alone. So I believe there's a remnant out there that's listening to me by podcast, watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook. You're a remnant. If you believe what this preacher's saying, you believe the word of God, you believe in signs, wonders, and miracles, you believe in the authority of the believer. Friends, congratulations. You're a part of the end time bride and the remnant of the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. And it's time we begin to step out and walk in this thing and stop being overcome with fear and pandemonium and hysteria that's being propagated through the media. Okay? We don't deny there's a pandemonium or pandemonium. Yeah, we don't deny that. We don't deny that there's a pandemic. We don't deny that there's people dying. We don't deny that these things. We don't deny it. But we refuse to accept it without a fight and stand up and begin to use the authority that Jesus Christ has given us as believers. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, that's where you're going to find us. Let me pray for us right now. Father in heaven, I thank you for this word. Lord, your word says that your word will not return void, but it will go forth and it will prosper in that which is sent forth. It will equip, it will encourage, it will exhort, and it will comfort and it will rebuke, but it will not return. It's going to bring forth fruit. And God, I'm asking today, tonight, or whenever there any whoever's listening to this, wherever they're watching it, whether it be live or by the rebroadcast of this, I'm asking that the fire of the Holy Ghost would begin to fall upon people. You would begin to fill people with the Spirit of Almighty God. Lord, fill your soldiers on the front line, men and women, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with power and signs and wonders and miracles. And as they begin to step out in the authority that you've given us, you said in your word that these signs would follow. And one of those signs would be healing of the sick, healing of diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses. You said all diseases, Lord, even whatever's been named, whatever hell has perpetrated, whatever hell has created, whatever hell has released, we command it to go back to the pits of hell where it came forth. Because we know in your word that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But you have come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And we receive that. Father, I receive healing in my body. I have received it, and I'm walking it out, and it is manifesting. It is manifesting for some brother watching this. It is manifesting for some sister that's watching this. You are healed. You are delivered. You are set free by the stripes and by the blood of Jesus and by what He's already done for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. All right, guys, God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on here, Lord willing, on Wednesday. And listen, I'm going to talk about again, could what we're seeing right now, what's happening, be, could this be what it takes to get us to another great awakening? I can only hope so. And I'm going to show you some historical stuff, some things that happened in history, and mighty things that happened in the midst of that, either in the midst or right after that. And we'll show you that guy on Wednesday. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.